we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are off and running. This is Independence Day week, and we are already excited about that. July is here this morning. We are taking kids to camp, and they're going to have a God encounter, and so we are very excited about what God is going to do this week. I do want to let you know about a service schedule change that is taking place for the month of July. During this month, our Wednesday night kids ministry isn't going to be taking place. I've got youth going to camp 1 week. I've got kids going to camp another week, and workers that are going on vacation. And so we are going to give our youth and children's workers on Wednesday night a month reprieve to refresh themselves spiritually. And it's not that we're slacking off or anything. We're just strategically positioning ourselves the way that God laid it upon my heart for better ministry come the fall. And so Wednesday night at 7, our Bible study is going to be our prayer meeting for the next 4 to 5 weeks. I think it's August 8th or something like that when we start back with the adult Bible study. But we are going to pray fervently, and we're going to start off this coming this Wednesday night. We don't have service for either one of those because it is July 4th, and we give that night to our church off anyway. But the following week, we are going to begin talking about a themed prayer, and we're going to be praying 4 or 5 R's throughout the month of July and August. So no midweek service this week. We're taking kids to camp, and you have a marvelous, marvelous Independence Day. I want to take you in the Word today to the 37th Psalm, verse number 3, Psalm 37:3. And today we're going to be talking about another process that God uses to magnify his light in us so that we are the light of the world. Okay, we have talked about through good works. We have talked about by him instilling gladness in our heart. We've talked about a number of things. And so today we are going to be looking at Psalm 37:3 and seeing another way that God manifests his light through us. So verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. We're just going to go ahead and stop there. So the goal that God describes for us here in the 37th Psalm, a Psalm of David, is that our righteousness and our justice are supposed to bring brilliance and illumination to our community, to our workplace, to our home, to our society, as much as the sun at high noon. And during that time, that's when the sun is at its peak in the sky, and it's reaching to the east, the west. I mean, it is absolutely impactful for that day. And so that's the goal that God has for us. Again, he wants it sit like a city on a hill, like a candle or a lamp on a candlestick. He's looking for his light to be effective through us to reach our community. So we want the good works. We want the joy, and we want his countenance to shine upon us. We want all that. And today he says, the other way that I want to do that is by your right standing before me, by your righteousness. He says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. Now, Jesus is our righteousness. He is our righteousness, and we are very, very thankful for that. We are, at least I'm exceptionally glad about that. So let's look at the prerequisites, because we often look at the promise and we don't see the steps that get us to that place. So how does God bring us to a place? Now, Wednesday night, I mean, the sky is going to be lit up. You know, you need to figure out, if you've got pets, you've got to be aware of how your dogs are going to react during the firework shows that are going to be going on. Just be ready, because the sky is going to light up. There's going to be lots of booming and banging and all of that sort of stuff. You've got to understand how you are going to respond to that situation. How does God bring us to that place where our righteousness is as brilliant as the noonday sun, and the fact that we deal with people in justice? So let's look at a few things here as we unpack this. Verse number 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, it just doesn't say trust God. We're thankful that we can trust God, but we trust in his lordship. We trust in his provision. We trust in his understanding. We trust in his goodness. We trust in his awareness. A lot of times, I say this, God is not looking for us to trust him just whenever we become aware and understand all of the facts. He is looking to bring us to that place of maturity where we trust him because he's him, because of who he is. Say, God, as long as you are telling me this is the way, walk in it, I trust you, because I am confident of your direction and your provision and your best interest in my life. Trust in the Lord. Okay? The second step is to do good, and we've talked about that before. Ministry really isn't complicated. We tend to complicate it. We tend to make it a little more challenging than it is. Ministry is simply serving God, doing our good work so that people will focus on God, not on us. It's literally manifesting the goodness of God. There are plenty of needs that are around, plenty of needs that exist. It is not the shortage of need. It is the shortage of workers. So God says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field. So one of the young men that was in our youth service or youth group when we were down in Melbourne is now a phenomenal minister. He served as a missionary, he and his wife and their kids, and now they are back in the States, and they are working with us and several other churches. I think they've been contacted by something like 40 churches about developing youth ministry in churches that do not have youth ministry. And he's just tremendously gifted in this area. And so as we've been talking about this, he said, look, I have no problem finding the need. He said, the need is everywhere. He said, the need is much bigger than what I even realized it was when I said yes to doing this with God. He said, the finding the need isn't hard. Finding the solution to the need is where the challenge lies. And wouldn't it be great if when we came into the body of Christ that we adopted this mindset that we were going to be a body of need meters. Now, I can't meet everybody's financial need. I'm not talking about being the savior of the world. That role is already taken care of. I'm not talking about being someone, you know, being creating a codependency situation where a person is dependent upon us. I'm not talking about that. They're supposed to be dependent upon God. I'm talking about when God reveals a need to us and says, hey, that's it. Now, it might not be complicated. One of the first real profound communications that I had with God was when I was walking across a field and I saw that there was a bunch of trash on the softball field that needed to be picked up. And rather than walking over it like, you know, myself and a bunch of other people had done, God said, I want you to pick up the garbage. And so I did that. And then God gave me a word and he says, I'm calling you to restore value to things that other people have overlooked, people that others have deemed worthless, and I want you to let them know that they are priceless. And so simply because I did an obedient act of servants, God used that as a platform to be able to speak direction into my life, and that has been the theme of our ministry. So, dwell in the land. Step number three, dwell in the land. Do you realize that God had brought Abraham and Isaac and Jacob from being nomadic people to now being people who dwelt in the promised land? He brought them from being refugees and slaves in Egypt to now they were the inhabitants of the promised land. And I have this philosophy that when God places you someplace, you make the most out of that opportunity. In the book of Jude, it's the last little letter before the book of Revelation. And let me see if I could... verse number 5, there's only one chapter. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, listen to that, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. There is a scriptural principle in this place, and I know that this is treatment of this specific group of angels, but the punishment for not dwelling in the assigned place that God has for you, not abiding where God has with perfect wisdom placed you, is the darkest of darkness. It is like darkness, exponential darkness. Darkness upon darkness. He said they are all of that because they did not abide in their proper domain, but left their own abode. There are a lot of people who look over the green grass that God has placed for them, and they spend all of their time coveting what God has provided for other people. Well, we were serving in Texas, lots of cows in Texas, and there's a little cartoon in the office manager's office. My wife filled that role at that point in time, but it was there when she got there, it was there when she left. And it showed four pastures, one cow in each pasture, and each one of the cows had their neck through the barbed wire fence, eating the grass on the other side of the barbed wire fence. And, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. That was That was the premise. And each one of them were overlooking what had been provided in their own field while they were longing for what had been provided for somebody else in their field. And so dwell in the land, make the most of that opportunity, and do it with contentment, do it with joy. Dwell there, you know. It is really an incredible thing whenever you and I say, you know what? God has provided this for me, and I'm not letting go of it. I'm not letting go of it. So when we came to Merit Assembly of God, we weren't looking at it as a stepping stone. We were looking at it the same way that a military person would look at, they had been assigned to a task, and if we ever needed to be moved, God, you know right where we are. And so we're not persuaded by feelings. We're not persuaded by circumstances. So dwell in that land. Feed on his faithfulness. We were talking the other day on the faithfulness of God. I believe it was Psalm 18 was where we were at. I'm turning back there to the, and I told you that one of the translations for verse number 5 is, to the faithful you will show yourself faithful. So this here, we say we feed on God's faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. Don't ever allow those seeds of doubt to take root in your life that are designed to cause you to question God and his motives for ministering to you in your life. Feed on his faithfulness. I tell people, I said, we had a potluck dinner. We had a cookout for Father's Day. And every time we have one of these, there are people that end up eating at one of our fellowship dinners for the very first time. We've always got new people coming in, and that's wonderful. And I tell people, I said, look, I didn't get this figure by eating bad food. I got this figure because the people at this church really do know how to cook, and my wife really does know how to cook. It has a profound effect upon you. And so if we feed on his faithfulness, the Bible talks about that there's going to come a time when we're going to be able to outgrow the yoke of burden, and that yoke will be destroyed, because God wants his children to be strong, stronger than the yoke and the bonds that the enemy would try and employ in our lives. Too many people are looking not to feed on the faithfulness of God, but feeding on the junk of the world, and then they wonder why they're not growing spiritually. And when that happens, you stop looking for God to bring victory from within you, and you start looking to other people and say, well, they're walking in victory. Maybe they can bring victory into me. God wants to do that work in our heart. I encourage you to feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord. If I ask you today if you were a Christian, I hope you would be able to say yes. If I asked you today if you were glad you were a Christian, I would hope that you would be able to say yes. And I hope that if I asked those who know you best, if you are glad to be a Christian, because they've seen the evidence of that gladness, I would hope that we could say yes. Too many times, we Christians go around grumbling and complaining and murmuring just the way the world does. And out of our mouth, we are saying, look, you really need to become a Christian. And the message that the world tends to hear is, don't you want to become a Christian so you can be as miserable and as unhappy as I am, but at least you've got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the world should really see that when we are walking in the Lord, we don't just trust him, we just don't feed on the provision that he has for us, but that we delight ourselves in the Lord. It is a thrill. It is a blessing to be a child of the living God. So that is very important. That is also the prerequisite for this next aspect that says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Many people misinterpret this, as far as I'm concerned, to believe that this verse says, just because I have this desire in my heart, that it's something that God is going to give to me. Well, when we delight ourselves in God, then we are going to have godly desires, not carnal desires. God knows everything that we have need of in every realm of our life. He knows what our spiritual needs are. He knows what our physical needs are. He knows what our financial needs are, our food needs, our transportation needs, our relational needs. He knows all of those. And when we come to that place where we say, God, I delight myself in you, and he says, I got a gift for you. I'm thankful that you appreciate where I have brought you, but I've got a desire that I want to plant deep inside of you that says I've got even more. Do you believe that God has more for you right now? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart, and then he is going to fulfill those desires. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. God doesn't want you sick. He wants you having that fulfillment. Verse number 5, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been in a song service where the person was singing lacked confidence in their vocal range, or they couldn't hear the music very well, and so they lacked the confidence of what they were hearing to make sure that what they were hearing and what they were singing were in sync together. But whenever there's an inadequacy there, you don't go through with confidence. For me, that manifests whenever I get to play golf. A couple of weeks ago, I got to play golf with a dear friend of mine, Carl. I appreciate him as a brother in the Lord. We met because of the radio program here. He's just a tremendous blessing. And he could tell when I was committed to the shot and when I wasn't committed to the shot. Everybody could tell when it just lacked conviction. Well, the world is looking for people who know where they're going. And we need to say, you know what? My way is not going to be determined by ease or comfort. My way is not going to be determined by my emotions. It's not going to be determined by my hormones. It is going to be determined by God. I have committed my way to the Lord. His ways are higher than my ways. I'm going to trust in him. He's going to bring it to pass. Okay? That's what it says right there. He shall bring it to pass. You want to know what the will of God is? That when we commit our way to the Lord, he will bring his way, our way, into existence. And in doing that, we're going to come, all of that preliminary work was set up for this goal. He's going to cause your righteousness. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. We trust in the Lord. We do good. We dwell in the land. We're not wandering nomads all over the place. We're making the most of the opportunity that God has for us. We feed on his faithfulness. We are delighting ourselves in the Lord. We have desires that he has planted in our heart, and he is fulfilling those desires. He is bringing his instructed way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's bringing that to pass. His ways will not be thwarted. They will not be hindered. His plans for you to do you good, and they're going to come to pass. He says he's going to bring forth your righteousness as the light. How do we light up the world? We do it by being in right standing with God. We do it by being in right standing with God, where Christ is our righteousness. I'm sure that you have some passwords for your email. And if I happen to know that password and you don't tell me that I can go into your email account, I would be committing a crime of illegally accessing things simply because I knew the password. I'd have the information, but I wouldn't be in right standing. You know what? God is looking to cause people to know, hey, these are people that have right standing before God. There's a passage of scripture that God says, what right do you have to claim my promises? There were people who weren't walking in covenant with God. And he said, okay, I know my promises, but what gives you the privilege of claiming my promises? Let me tell you that is the name of Jesus. It is a privilege of the children of God. When we pray in the name of Jesus, that is not just an addendum onto our prayer. It is the carte blanche. It is the pass that gets us into the throne room, to the throne of grace, where we can find help in our time of need. He says, and your justice as the noonday. And so the second part of the way that we can enhance the illumination of God's people in this community is by treating people equitably, fairly, and justly. Don't have one standard for yourself and another standard for someone else. Listen, I've known people that they had no problem disciplining other kids. They just had problems disciplining their own. I've had other people who erred the other way. They did not treat their kids as well as they treated other kids. It is not one or the other. It is we are supposed to treat people the way that we want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If we want our light to shine, we've got to know that we have right standing before God, and we've got to treat people like the wonderfully created beings that they are, created in the image of God for the glory of God. So let's go light up the world more than the fireworks show this week, shall we? God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an